Hello, and welcome to the Love of Learning radio show with myself, Simone Padour, and my lovely co-host, Christine DiDomenico. Today, we've got Kathy and Arlene on, and I'm so excited about this show because, well, I love horses, and they're going to talk about horses and consciousness. Both these gals have done almost anything you can do on a horse or off a horse with a horse. So
that sounds suggestive.
It does, doesn't it? We're not doing the calf really great thing here. That's not what's going on. Just so you know. Clean fun here. So if you want to take it away, Arlene or Kathy or both.
Well, thank you very much for having us on the show. It's absolutely wonderful. So myself, I started riding horses when I was about 9 years old and had never been around horses. We hadn't had horses, but my mom had a love for horses. My dad tolerated horses because he had to work with horses in the field. So that was the difference. And once we got involved, we just started doing everything. So as a family, that was our thing. You know, prior to that, we did a lot of skidooing and ice fishing and stuff like that. But when horses came into our lives, every weekend we were doing horses. And so much so that our parents actually built a rodeo ground in our town. So just so that we could compete. So everything from barrels and gymkhana and rodeo and flat races and pleasure riding, backpacking in the mountains. We did everything. You know, if there was a novelty of, you know, go race down to the end of the arena and pick up your boots. I mean, every one of us kids, and there was five of us, got involved. So it became a real family affair. So we were together every weekend for sure, and every night because we went out to the rodeo grounds.
Awesome. Awesome.
And then I think I probably got put on a horse when I was about 2 or 3 years old. And then shortly after that, I started to compete. But I didn't see it as competing back then. It was just having fun with my horse. I loved horses. Like, just if I love horses. And when I tap into the horses, the first gentle horses I was put on as like a 3-year-old, and being able to feel that safe and that comfortable with a horse that you could actually start to like do crazy obstacles like barrel racing or, you know, run in the, you know, down, ride up in the mountains and with the horse, and just know that the horse always had your back. And as I said, I didn't see it as competing. I just really seen it as having fun. So for me, it was me and my horse. How fast could I go in and go around the barrels without knocking them over? How fast could I zoom through the poles? And the poles were like six stakes, if you want to say, and you run down and you kind of weave through them and weave back and you try not to knock them over. And it was always about that. And then because I had such a communion with my horse, we all won so many ribbons and trophies and saddles and money and stuff like that. But it was never, that was never why I originally started to ride my horse. And Kathy said our parents built this rodeo grounds and all that. So at that point we actually lived in a town. So we didn't have our horses out the back yard. Yeah. But then several years later, we actually moved to our parents got a 160-acre farm and ranch where our horses were right there. So it wasn't just the weekends. Every day after school, we came home, jumped on our horses, and just it spent hours and hours out there.
Wow.
That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah. What an awesome childhood.
It was good, actually. You know, you forget about a lot of these things, you know, about how much, and the dedication of my parents, you know, the boys, we have 3 girls and 2 boys in the family, and the boys, they tried to do the riding for a bit, and then they kind of got involved with hockey and being from Canada sort of thing, hockey, and then my brother got into motorbikes and all that, but us girls, we stayed focused on on it. And our parents, you know, for until we could drive, or Kathy could drive, because she started to drive when she was quite young, before having a license. And, you know, our parents would take us, you know, every weekend to one or two places. But when Kathy and I started to go down, as we call it, go down the road to rodeo, we would do about four rodeos in a weekend all over, you know, Western Canada.
So you mentioned being in communion with the horse. So as a 2-year-old or a 9-year-old, I'm sure you weren't thinking about being in communion with the horse. So what was that like? And just for people that don't get what you're talking about when you say communion with the horse, what did that mean, or what did that look like as a kid?
Well, I think for me, it was just, as Arlene said, it was just playing. You know, it's like, you know, you can't wait to go outside and play with your best friend. Well, our best friends were our horses, and we just did it with family. So, you know, as when we got to the farm, that was the first thing that you did, is that you put your school books down and you raced down to the barn and you played with them and you fed them and you went out riding. So it was just a relationship, a partnership with your horse. And at one point, I think we had close to 35 horses. So, you know, you just go and be and have fun. So that, I think, was the communion part of it. It was just more of the partnership. I'm having fun with my best friend, one of my best friends. And it just happens to be a horse.
And I think for me to add on to that would be, communion with your horse for me is it's a space you occupy, like this space, this almost peace. And it's a place where you can actually be you. You know, your horse has no judgments or projections towards you. And there's this kind of space that's created where the horse can be them, you can be you, and you have their, for lack of word, a synergy between each other. Like when you're walking, for anyone like that's listening, when you're walking out there in nature and you just feel like there's no care in the world, and just everything, the only thing that you're in connection is with nature and the birds singing, and you can feel the grass almost like aliveness in that. And that's really what communion is the aliveness and being in that space together. It's just so, it's almost, it's really hard to put in word, but it's this yumminess that just all the worries and care goes away, and you can just be yourself.
So it's like looking forward to spring. You know, here in Canada, we have long winters. And so when you start seeing, you walk outside, you start seeing, you know, the grass is starting to peak up, the flowers are starting to peak up, the buds, the willows are all having buds and stuff like that. The birds are starting to chirp. It's that sort of excitement of just, oh, this is great. There's new growth. There's almost a new beginning. And with horses, that happens almost every single day. Because as Arlene said, they have no judgment of you. So if the person you're with doesn't have any judgment of you, it's really easy to just be with that person and have no judgment about yourself. So that's, I think, the coolest part about horses, is that no judgment means you have no judgment. And what a space to be in. Can you just think about that, you know, in your mind? If you're actually with a person and you know that they have no judgment, they have your back, because horses always have your back, and just be in that space with them. Can you imagine the possibilities that you could then start to think about?
Well, yeah, it's very cool.
Well, a couple of things come up when you talk about that, about... it takes me back to when I was a kid, climbing trees, and also going on a horse. I was probably about 18 the first time I went on a horse, and at that time you could just take the horse out and go in the woods and they didn't have any rules. And, you know, now you go somewhere to ride a horse and they, you either follow in a line, you know, like when I go on vacation or something, or, you know, there's all these rules. But back then it was an adventure. It was just really fun and light and I had no fear of it. So this is really helping me a lot in looking at how I can be more in my life by going back to that energy of when I was a kid, where I wasn't thinking about any of that, being in the tree, climbing to the top of this huge tree in my backyard, or riding a horse with not a care in the world. So that was great, a great explanation, I thought, of being in communion. So thanks.
I think you brought up, you know, what you were just saying is that as a kid, we're so into just being, like being with the, climbing the tree, being with the tree, being, you know, playing around. As what I'd seen, what shifted with me with horses was the more I was winning, the more I got into competition, the more people, is that there was almost a shift from the being part to the doing. It became about the competition. It became about winning and it became less about me being with the horse. And so I actually started to put more projections on my working with the animal and working with my horse. Like, and I say animal because I became disconnected from my horse and I was more in my head. I was thinking about, oh, like, what do I have to do? Do I have the right bridle? Do I have the right saddle? Do I have the right horse? Do I have the right trailer, the right truck? The conversations in the competition was always like, are you using, you know, the right nutrition? Are you using the right supplement? I got so far away from why I originally loved being with my horse. And I got to a point where I couldn't even hardly ride my horse anymore. And I didn't understand it at the time. I thought it was the time that came, or it was just, I had no time, but it was, I just hated what I had become with my horse and in the competition world. And I left it. I just quit. I walked away from horses for several years. And it wasn't until I went to the, to Costa Rica for the 7-day with Access Consciousness that I just could, I knew I was back in communion and being with animals. And I couldn't, every morning I woke up at 4:30 more, I couldn't wait to get on the horse, go see the horses. Whoa, I get a little emotional.
And I think that that's probably one of the biggest things that, you know, something that you take that you are joyful with, and then you get serious about it. And I mean, that's fine too, but in certain aspects of sport, when it became a sport, because it really was the competition, the judgments of people, and it's not only the judgments of people within the, you know, sort of the realm of the sport, but it's all the judgments outside. So when you go to a rodeo or if you go to a sporting event, I mean, you got all these people who have an opinion and judgment about what you did right, what you did wrong, and all of a sudden now you, all this pressure starts coming down on you and you start to doubt who you are and what your capabilities are. And so it's almost like you start to shrink down into yourself. And it's funny, Arlene and I were talking about this yesterday about the zone of awareness. And horses have a zone of awareness. Humans have a zone of awareness. A lot of people have a zone of awareness. But when does that start to crush you? And it's almost like coming back down on top of you, right? So it's how do you expand that out? And I think that horses reignited that sort of tool within me is like, how can I help the horse expand out their zone awareness? And now it's like, well, what else can I expand? Zone of awareness, myself, my business, other people. So it's expanding that zone of awareness so that the judgments don't crush you.
Wow. And yeah, when you were talking about that, I was thinking about the same thing. Like, where else in our life does that happen? Like, you go into, say, a job or a career that you just love, And then, like, I think of teachers, because Simone and I are both teachers, and you go into it because you love to work with kids, you know what's possible, and then you have all these rules and regulations and structure that you have to follow, and then there's this restriction or contraction of who you are to fit into the rules, and that, you know, the kids have to take certain tests, and you know, the stress is huge. It's incredible, but it can apply to anything in your life that you love, and then you start following some kind of insane guides.
Yeah, that was the reason I had left. Yeah. I was a high school teacher, and I had left the same. The contraction, if you want to just look at the zone of awareness, it's really the space you're in, and the more contracting, it's the, you know, the more rules that seems to be, the more rules in all this, the more contraction happens, and then you lose and the connection to the students, it became less about me connecting with the students than, am I doing the right thing again? Am I doing the right thing so I don't get in trouble because of all the liability issues that came into the school system?
So I'm curious because it's amazing you brought that up, because you read my mind, Christine. So what are some of the tools that you would suggest, either of you, that people could use? Let's say they do love to compete, like they love to be with their horse and they love to have fun and just get out there and play with all those different things that they could do. And even in anything else, like teaching, in art, in being a lawyer, whatever that is for whomever is listening, like, what tools would you use to stop yourself going into the seriousness, to letting the judgment rule your life, really?
For me, well, the one tool right there we just talked about was to actually expand your zone of awareness wherever you are. So part of one thing we do with animals, you know, an animal can't necessarily say, you can tell them to, hey, go ahead, expand your zone of awareness. You help an animal do that. And that's a technique we actually show in some of the classes that we do with horses. But with a person, a great thing is to actually like tap in and you feel that contraction. A simple tool is like, you can say to yourself, barriers down, and like expand out. Like you can literally feel, like ask your beingness to expand out beyond the, you know, four corners of the room, beyond the, you know, this, the town you live in. And it's a muscle to be like, it's practice. It's a muscle to build. And yet it's not, because it can happen just like that. Right when you put the attention on that you're in contraction, you can literally go ask yourself to expand out, and you can expand out quickly. Now, whether you're conscious all the time that you're in contraction or out in expansion, that maybe is more the muscle. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think another tool that we always use, and I use on a regular basis, is, who does this belong to?
Yeah.
Is it really your... Yeah, you know, is it really yours, right? Because lots of times we have thoughts and feelings that we think are ours. And in actuality, I mean, humans are human antenna, is that we pick up everything all around us, right? So asking yourself, you know, is this mine? Who does this belong to? And just sit there and see what comes up, you know, what awareness comes up, what does your body say to you? It's probably the easiest thing. You know, we use light and heavy. So if it feels really heavy, it's not yours. And say, okay, well, let that go. And start to really become aware of, you know, what thoughts and feelings are really your own. Because that's when the judgment, especially when the judgment, like you said, the rules and everything else like that, and you start to feel constricted and, you know, coming down, it's like, stop. Who does this belong to? Not mine? Shit, let that one go away.
And I'll tell you, I've been doing this a long time using these tools, and I still forget that. I had this experience this week where I was just like, there's so much heaviness in my world. And then I was like, we just got a foot of snow. It's the end of winter. Like, how many people are just feeling so stuck inside? And I live in a complex with over 900 units. There's a lot of people here, you know, go back to that basic tool. Who does this belong to? Not mine.
Well, that's been one beyond the horses. Kathy and I actually have several businesses, and we work in an industry. We work in the heavy truck and trailer industry resource area here in Alberta. And there's been a lot of heaviness the last few years. Worldwide, there's been some interesting things. These tools, like when we talk about the zone awareness, we were just at our business yesterday. And we have a large, you know, 26,000 square foot building with, you know, a few acres and all that stuff. But when we drove up, and this is how easy it is to actually learn, for you to actually, somebody to take this tool. We had our mom with us. And we said, hey, mom, just tune in, like walk in the building. We walked in the building. We said, just tune into the building. Does it feel light? Like, does it feel like it's expanded? Or what does it feel like? We didn't want to put words in her mouth. And she goes, wow, it feels like really like contracted, really like squished in. And so we did. We said, okay, can we all just like, you know, like bear, imagine the barriers down in the business within the building? Can you see it expanding out? Can you just see the energies of the trickles of energies going out to people in different places and spaces that are looking for, to work with the business that, you know, wants to help them get back on the road, you know, get to work, that sort of thing. And it took minutes. And all of a sudden the shift in the building was completely different. We went outside where we have large equipment outside for sale, and we're repairing stuff and all that. Did the same thing. And it wasn't as contracted, but we asked her and she said, oh, we could use some like that expansion energy you're talking about. And so we did the same thing, and it literally like felt so like it looked lighter. That was the crazy thing. It's like it through our filter of our eyes, it was like lighter. So these tools, like whether they're like the awareness one or even what Kaz said, who does this belong to? Because in our industry too, there's huge projections. You know, we have all these celebrities projecting in our province about certain things. And so you can take it on yourself. And it's like, this isn't mine. What other possibilities are here? And I will tell you, the one tool I use constantly every morning throughout the day and night is Access Consciousness Mantra. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. And I say it like at least 10 times. And there's something about saying that mantra that starts to create space and ease and like in my body and in my world, just saying there's something energetic that happens mm-hmm. with that mantra. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I think that's one of the most amazing tools to just quickly shift things. And not only does it shift things for me, I've noticed, but it shifts things for the other people. If I'm uptight or something or upset with someone, it shifts the other person. I noticed that once when I was using it because I was getting upset with my son, and I used it for me and it took him out of the upset. So I explain it like it's like a light switch to change the energy.
Then that actually happens exactly with horses. So when you change your energy, the horse changes also. The horses, I've always said, is like a mirror and picks it up. So when I'm aware, going back, if my zone of awareness or I'm contracted, my horse is going to feel that and is also going to start to go like, what's going on? Like, am I doing something? Like, it kind of taps into you. So just as you said with your son, if you're upset, you know, if I'm upset and I get on my horse or near my horse all of a sudden is going to feel that. And what happens is that unfortunately we don't actually look at ourselves as the problem. We look at the horse, and the horse ends up being the, you know, being the end of our frustrations. We blame it on the horse. You know, I've seen so many people you know, people go through horses. Is it the horse or is it the person? You know, we have to tap into ourselves and then the horse will respond in kind.
It's so interesting because, I mean, I've been riding with these coaches that are really quite different, and they're really, I've never ridden with people before who really looked at your body and where you were sitting on the horse and like, and how your body is affecting the balance of the horse. Nobody ever really, or maybe I wasn't listening. I don't know. Whatever. This is like eureka moments for me. But what I found so interesting is that, like, just as you say, like, if a person is not sitting in a place that balances the horse is always having to sort of counteract or, you know, support you. And it can't really do its job because you're all like, you know, wibbly wobbly up there and, you know, yeah.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that's one of the things, like you said, is that, you know, where are you off balance?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just on a horse. On a horse, you can visibly see it, right? Yeah. Or, you know, others, you know, who are around you can see that, you know, your horse is always trying to compensate for you. But where are you off balance in your own life? And going back to how do I get to that space of possibilities, of creation? And that's where these tools are absolutely fantastic. Again, going back to, you know, what is your zone of awareness? What are you aware of? You know, who does this belong to? Is it even yours? Are you taking on something that isn't even yours? And then just being, allowing yourself to be in that space so that you can be open to the possibilities. Because if you're overly judging yourself, I mean, you're shutting the doors. It's just like, you know, walking down a hallway and seeing all the doors shut, you just automatically start going in on yourself. So how do you get out of it? Using the mantra, you know, all life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. So, you know, just those three tools can allow you to get into a space of creation.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious with, you know, people that are going out to ride, maybe they're going out to buy a horse, maybe they're out just to find a horse that'd be fun for them to go out for the day. What are some of the questions that you personally would ask, you know, if you're approaching something that's a new horse or you're thinking like, would I like to buy this horse or, yeah.
Well, I think the first one is to ask your body, what horse would be fun for me? And let your body, I know that sounds crazy, but let your body kind of tune into your body and see which one, as you're scanning the horses, like, or if it's just going to see one horse. And Kevin had mentioned the tool around light and heavy before. So when you actually look at the horse and you ask your body, what would this horse be fun for me to ride? Would this horse be, you know, like a contribution to me 5 years from now? Or won't it, sort of thing? And then what are you getting? Like, are you getting that sense of like lightness, that expansion feeling? Are you kind of going, oh, that horse like brings a, you know, you start to shrink down in your body. Chances are if you're starting to shrink down, again, don't go into judgment. First ask, who does this belong to? Because it could be there's other people who approach that horse and actually have projections about, oh, that horse is too big for me. Especially if you're looking at the horse is a little bit of a, like a little bit more of a powerhouse. A lot of animals that are a little bit more strong and independent get a lot of projections on them. And so ask, first of all, we could use something like you can destroy and uncreate. In Axis, we have this thing where you can destroy and uncreate all the projections, rejections, expectations, and that. And then you can ask the question from a space of like, okay, truth. Would this horse be fun for me? See what you get. If you get a lightness, but then ask some more questions and then ask the horse, would you like to be owned? Like, would you like to like come home with me and see what happens? Cause maybe the horse doesn't want to be owned by you. That happens. And you're like, what? We had we've come across many situations where the horse does not want to be owned by that owner. And it shows up in different kinds of behavior. But most of all, the owner usually gets frustrated. So those are just a couple of the questions that pop. What comes for you, Kath?
Well, and I think going back into when you're in a stable or in a barn, you know, as Arlene said, scan there, walk up and down the aisles, find out which horse actually pops for you. It might even be a horse that's not for sale, but it could be an opportunity for you to just maybe even ride that horse and actually feel what is that connection between you and the horse. So, you know, the biggest thing is that a lot of people, you know, when they're trying to do something, they try to force it. And when it's forced, it doesn't come easy. And then the fun goes out of it. And then you almost feel committed to the situation and you're hating it. And it's like, oh, shit, I got to go out and ride this damn horse. Well, why? So, again, just, you know, walk into the barn, lower your barriers, and just walk up and down and see which horse pops for you. It's so easy. And it's just, we don't even realize how easy these tools are, is just being in the barn, like we were climbing the tree. It's just being there and what's going to be fun for me? What horse is going to be fun for me, whether to ride or to own?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Cool. And so like that would be like buying. Now, if you want to like say you actually chose a horse, what's the next step? So there's two things. One, there are a lot of people that have a fear of horses. And one, we can like lots of times it's not even their fear. They're actually picking up, you know, the psychic antenna picking. But there are a lot of people that have a true fear of horses, and it could be a prior experience or whatever. And we can like literally work with that person to get them to feel like at ease around a horse, to get to the point where they can even climb on a horse in a relatively short amount of time. But majority of people have a curiosity about horses. And so when you do actually choose a horse to ride, whether it's your own or somebody else's, that when you get to the horse, have a conversation with the horse. Say, hey, horse, will you take care of me? If, you know, I ride you, will you take care of me? And I'll take care of you. And, you know, is there anything you want me to know before I get on you? And sometimes these pictures start to pop in your head that the horse actually talks in pictures. So chances are the horse is probably sending you a picture. It's like, yeah, you know what? You know, just be kind, you know, getting on me, or maybe use a stool. I don't know. That horse might know something more about, because he wants to actually be, you know, can see the ease of you getting on the horse using a stool versus trying to, you know, put your foot up in the stirrup. Once you're on the horse, the couple things that we, you know, which is so easy to do, is one is the zone of awareness. So you could do it before you get on the horse, or when you get on the horse, you can match the zone of awareness of the horse and go beyond, so that the horse feels that you have its back, but it also, it feels safe and at peace, sort of thing. Then the other thing that's really cool to do is like in the one, you know, in the 2-day program, we do conscious horse, conscious rider. The one thing we talk about is some body processes. So you connect to the earth with restoration of communion with earth. And you can literally pull the energy up through the earth, through the foot, you know, hooves of the horse, through your body. And then you can go back in, so that not only are you connected to the animal, connected to the earth, the earth's connected to you, the horse, and yourself. And then you can actually ride in that space. And there is so much more peace when you actually ride in the zone of the awareness with the animal versus not being connected. Because then there's, you know, you can see when somebody's not connected to an animal, and they can feel it too. Not only yourself, but the animal can feel it.
And it might not even be that you want to buy a horse. maybe you just want to be around these magnificent creatures, right? You have a love of horses, but you also have a fear. So that's the cool part of our 2-day Conscious Horse, Conscious Rider Clinic is that you don't have to want to own a horse. You don't have to want to buy a horse. You just want to learn to be maybe around those horses. So that's the real cool part is that we actually help you tap into that love of horses and just being with the horses. I mean, we've past clinics where we've had women who and guys who look over the fence and just go, oh, I wish I could just be a little bit closer. And there's hesitation, but by the end of the class, they're in the arena, they're all over the horse, they're petting it, they're leading it, they're doing, body processes with it. So that's where, the cool part of someone using tools with horses is that maybe you don't want to buy a horse, maybe you don't want to ride a horse, but you just want to get close to these magnificent creatures. And the tools definitely help you erase or dissipate some of those fears that you have so that you can have that partnership with a horse.
So I just had this, I'd love to hear just one or two stories of some of the changes you've seen, with the horses you've worked with or the people you've worked with horses, like where you've gone, wow, you know what I mean?
Definitely. Oh, there's a lot of ones that pop. Okay. I'm going to tell the one about the horse that grew 2 inches. Okay. So this horse, so when we work with the horses, and we work with every time we work with it always depends on what the person's looking for, sort of thing, to get out of it. So as we were doing, we were working with horses and working with people, and this one horse, this lady brought a bunch of her horses. And so the horse could not, we kept getting feeling the horse actually didn't have the right name. This is very common that horses actually don't like their name. And you can ask the horse and they'll actually give you quite good feedback that they don't like their name. So we were not aware yet what the horse wanted to be called. But as we continued to work with the person and the horse using all these different body processes and clearings, we do a lot of verbal clearings, asking questions, I guess, and clearing the energy that comes up. That's kind of what we're talking with that. Well, we noticed that this horse started to stand taller and kind of wanted more attention. And it almost we all had these pictures that this horse actually from other lifetimes was, chances are, in the royalty cavalry and all that, that was the leading horse that possibly even actually was the horse that the king would choose to ride. Very gallant and all this stuff. So we had this, all that kept coming to our mind as a group of what we were working was, sir, just keep calling this horse sir. The more we called this horse sir, we're all looking going, is this horse growing tall? And now we're getting better at taking pictures, not only of the participants, but of the horses we're working with. And sure enough, when the lady went to go load the horse up, the horse could hardly fit in the horse trailer she bought it with. She goes, oh, thank goodness. I've been wanting to go buy a new horse trailer. So yes, the horse did grow just from the changes with that.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then there's this one, we went to this one barn and she has riding. She does trail riding and she did classes. And so she had this one mare who had been a brood mare for years and years and years. I think she was going into her 16th year. And they finally, I think, retired her about a year earlier. So her whole purpose was to have babies every year from the time that she was probably about 3 years old to 15. Every year she had a baby. So that they called her the brood mare. She was sort of the lady about the house because she had that title. And so as we started working with her, and it's so interesting because, even though I've been around horses all my life, I don't know if I ever really gave it much thought about when, you know, a mare has a baby. Like, what happens to them structurally? It's no different than when a female has a baby. Structurally, you change. I don't know if I ever gave that same essence to the horse. So as we're looking at this mare and watching her walk, her back end actually almost sort of tightened up around, you know, her back end, and her legs were out. Well, it was the whole projection of, as you know, when a stallion enters, get, you know, does the performance to get a baby. She was so used to that. She was already closed down around her back end, but her legs didn't support her hind end. So, you know, from babies always coming out. And literally, after working with her and spending time with her on the weekend, her whole back end loosened up, her legs got straight, her whole front end changed, the way that she held her head changed. She was no longer putting her head on the ground and, you know, sort of being almost dominated by other horses. She actually started to rise up and actually held herself proudly. The owner literally did not recognize the horse when she came because she hadn't been around. And so after 2 days, she came and she says, "So where's the mare?" And we went, "She's right there. She's..."
Wow.
And she went, "No, like our brood mare. Where's our brood mare?" She says, "Right there." And she looked at her and she's, "There is no way that this is my brood mare." She says, "It looks like a completely different horse." So again, as Arlene said, you know, I wish we had taken more pictures, because the difference in that horse was day and night in 2 days. And we have a couple of girlfriends that actually still go to that place on a regular basis. And she has not changed back. She's still that proud mare now. Her hind end is loose. She's walking straighter. She's walking prouder. So yeah, to see a change in that, it's almost physically seeing a horse in pain and being able to help them shift out of it and see something different where they're actually enjoying being on this planet.
And I think from a people perspective, I mean, most of the people that we work with, like there was this young girl, she wasn't actually even in, she was standing on the side. This is what's so interesting. There's all the arenas we go to and stables and stuff like that. The people, there's always usually other people around sort of thing. And they're curious, you know, what are they doing in there? And so there was this one girl, just to show kind of how quickly this can work. She had actually, you could see there was a lot of projections on her to ride. She was supposed to ride equestrian and jumping and all that. And she actually just had this huge fear with her horse. And through this, we quickly realized she actually wasn't even on this horse and her were not matched. She knew it. Her mom didn't want to hear it. And after her mom was kind of hanging around for the weekend, she actually came up and she asked me a couple questions. And I said, "What do you know? Like, what do you know about your daughter?" And she said, I don't think my daughter even wants to ride anymore. I said, "Well, is that true? Have you asked your daughter?" And she goes, "I don't know. So I brought her daughter over because her daughter kept hanging around and stuff." And I said to her, I said, "What are you, like, what do you want?" She goes, "I want to ride, Mom, but it's this me and this horse is not it." And her mom was like, so sorry. And they actually had, there was another horse that her mom kept thinking that her daughter would do better on, but she actually thought her daughter wanted to stay on this horse. Long story, actually they switched, and it was almost like instant magic started to happen, you know? So huge things, a big part. We've had people come that never been around horses anytime in their life, but they just had a pull to come, like to be around, like they've always, like when they're driving down the road and they see horses, they'll go, "Hey, there's some horses in the field," or whatever sort of thing. Where they got to the point, you know, like Kathy said, standing outside the arena at the end of the class, they're in the arena. They're like, they're the one holding the horse. They're the one actually like their hands under the horse's belly and work, you know, maybe do a little bit of body work on the horse. Like, it's really amazing how quickly things can shift.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting. Like the people that I see, like that are doing access classes, and when you're in like Costa Rica or a place where there are horses, how many people who may have never had very much experience with horses just like to gravitate over there, you know? And I find the same for myself. Like, I mean, I started riding as a young kid. I had the craziest pony on the planet. She'd do things like get stuck in reverse and then she'd just go backwards everywhere. And, like, she was, I don't know how I stayed alive, but apparently she liked me enough to keep me alive. And I actually stopped riding for a while, and I don't think it was anything to do with competition, but there was just this like twist in it. And the more access I did, the more I had to be around horses. And I to the point now where I have to go in once or twice a week, because otherwise like it's like breathing. Like,
it is.
Yeah.
That's interesting. The twist. I wonder what that, if you've actually, like, was there one thing that happens is that it becomes a have to, like, there's almost like this, it's again, the fun, the ease, the fun and the joy is taken out of being with the animal. And also it's either a have to that's projected onto you by sometimes your parents, like you have to go take care of the horse. You have to go ride it because you know you should, you know, and that in itself can actually deteriorate a lot of people from their love or the ease and joy they had with an animal.
Well, go ahead, Kathy.
Well, and the other thing that's coming up for me is because we had a Shetland pony. Don't ever buy your kids Shetland ponies. They're like the meanest horses out there because they just have a mind of their own. They really do. So we had this one Shetland pony, and same thing, you know, you get on, you'd start riding, and he immediately would go to the trees and try and rub you off, or, you know, back up against a fence and try to rub you off, or go against the barn and try to rub you off. I mean, so it was, you know, for as a kid, when I'm first starting out, it was like, oh, okay, this is really cool. I get to ride a horse. By the end of, you know, riding, it's like, oh, I don't know if that was that much fun anymore. So when we're involved with horses, like you were at the beginning, you know, just even having a horse that you're not matched with and the horse isn't having any fun, you're not having any fun, all of a sudden that's where maybe some of the twistedness comes from, is that you don't understand, you just don't want to be there anymore.
Well, and when you guys talk about that being matched thing, it's unbelievable. Like, I started riding at this local stable, and there's this horse that this, I have another question after that. and he is just such a love bug. Like, he just is like, hi, I'm so happy to see you. You're marvelous. And like, I would just want to go out there and ride him. Like, he just, like, he was just so amazing. And so that was the first time I really had that sense of being well matched with a horse, you know, where you not only physically you sort of fit like a shoe, good shoe, but also personality wise, there was that sort of, you know, that communion, that sort of joy of just being together. Now, I've had this happen a few times, and this is where it gets weird, where I've had horses in my life. And at a certain point, I can feel them shift and something else comes in. And the one that I really cared about goes away. And they're not the same animal. Like this horse that I'm talking about, I went to see him the other day and he was like nipping and stuff. And he never does that. I mean, he's usually like nuzzles and licks and, you know, it's like a big dog. And this time he was like trying to bite you, like at any chance he kind of got. And I was like, who are you? Like, what is going on? And I stepped away and I looked at his face, and even his face had changed shape. So like, what is that? And like, as a like horse owner, maybe, or maybe you're just leasing or going for a hack on your favorite horse. Like, how do you deal with that? Like, what is that?
So that is actually what we actually do work. Horses are very keen to picking up entities. So entities are just, if you want to say, kind of like, how would you say it? Not ghosts or anything, but like beings that are just kind of like, how can you say, floating around sort of thing. Yes.
And haven't found a home to go to.
And horses are very, actually, we've worked with many horses that have actually not just one entity in it, several entities. And to the point that this one, that, you know, there's all this weird, we were at this one place that the horses hated the stables. We were actually staying outside in our motorhome. And at nighttime, it was all this commotion, but the horses kept like literally escaping from the stables. The horses would crawl under the door to get out, like weird stuff. And then the ones that couldn't get out, they just had this unbelievable weird behavior going on. They were like really upset. And so I had started to notice this with this one animal I was working with, one of the horses I worked. We brought it in and we're looking at, and I'm like, wow. I says, what is going on? Like, there's something in this building. So buildings can have entities also. And so the long story of this was, is the father actually had passed on, and he was so attached to this, what he created with this stables and boarding and arena and all this stuff, that his entity was still there. However, he was not like an all nice, joyful entity. And he actually was in the arena, and, we cleared it. We actually cleared a lot of stuff out of the arena, and then we went and cleared the stables, and then we actually cleared these horses. So when you use the entity process sort of thing, which is very simple, we can use, is tapping in, and you know this horse isn't themselves, then you can literally ask like to talk to the entities. And then, you know, use a process where, you know, you can literally ask them to leave the body and take all of their kind of baggage with them. When that happens, you physically can see the change in the animal. They will either structurally change, their whole face will change. We did this to the horse. We had a mirror. This arena had a mirror on the wall, because that's one of a training technique or whatever. And this horse went up to the mirror, no joke, and looked in the mirror, shook its head, back in the mirror, shook its head, and he turned back at us, and it was all of a sudden, this whole joyful horse showed up, and he like, you know, ran away from the mirror, like gantered away sort of thing.
Wow.
And it is really, it's like, I don't know if you guys want us to get into saying what the entity is, but there is a process that we go through, and it's very quick. And it's not like any other ones where you have to bring in, you know, the priests or anything like that to, you know, scare away the entities. It's a very quick process that can actually clear an animal or a being or a building or land. Land picks up a lot of entities in a matter of minutes. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead, because I know for myself, like I was riding a horse the other day, and I thought, Jesus, what the hell is happening? Because he was trying to chuck me on the ground every opportunity he got. And I've ridden this horse before, and he's usually this kind, gentle giant, nothing bothers him. And I finally went, okay, what is this? And in a matter, what's that?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
And in a matter of minutes, like I did the clearing, and he was like contrite. Like he was so like, sorry. He was like, I'm sorry. Sorry. Like all the way back to the barn.
They just don't, you know, they're animal, you know, big animals. I mean, there's different reasons why entities, but animals don't. I mean, they're such, they're such kind, you know, they're so kind that they'll actually think they're contributing by taking on entities sort of thing. So did you want us to go through the process?
Sure.
Or? Okay, so if you're aware that your animal or your horse, and this happens with cats, dogs, you can
any
do the same
type of animal.
Because I've done it with a lot of my other cat, you know, cats and everything, is like you sense that there's an energy there that's not them. Like they're just not them. They're not, you can look at them and you can actually just do this, whether it works or not, you'll know. And it's just like, ask truth, you know, who are you? So this is what you're saying to the entity. Truth, who are you before that? Truth, who are you before that? Truth, who are you before that? And you can say this phrase several times and you'll feel the energy start to go like, whew, like it's wanting to leave. So you get to the point where you're like, whew, okay, it's ready to leave. And then you ask, so you say that several times, truth, who are you? Truth, who are you before that? Who are you before that? And then you say, truth, who will you be in the future? Because what happens, I'll finish this. Truth, who will you be in the future? Take all your magnetic imprinting and baggage and please like leave this horse now for all eternity. And then you can use the clearing statement. I don't know if you guys use it, but right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pot, call nine shorts, boys and beyonds. And there will be a totally change with that. The thing with entities is they're just kind of, they don't know that they're given jobs and they don't know they're kind of stuck in that job until you tell them that they could go have a different job in the future. And once you kind of get them to that point, they literally, their energy shifts and they're gone. It's a very magical tool.
So I guess this is one of the many things that you'll be doing at your workshop that's coming up. So would you tell us, we have about 5 minutes left or so. So we'd really like to hear about that workshop, when it is, where it is, and what can people look forward to in that workshop?
Well, it's in Kelowna, BC, in the Lake Country.
Canada. And
on May 5th, we're going to be doing an introduction to horses and access. And May 6th and 7th, we are going to be at Old Friends Rescue Canada stable, which is absolutely fabulous because it's a rescue farm for animals, horses that have no place else to go. So these horses have been calling us like crazy, wanting us to come and just contribute to them. So whether you are a rider, a non-rider, a horse person, a non-horse person, the great thing about this work is that you can just come out and be who you want to be. Just experience being the best possible of you. And throughout the 2 days, we'll just work with the horses. You'll learn to interact with horses, learn to pick up, what are they feeling? What judgments do you have about yourself, about the horse? So we get to work through all of that.
Plus you'll get, so in the 2 days, so the Friday is just an intro evening, about an hour and a half. You can come in the evening out to the arena that we're going to be having there. And just if you're curious, you're not sure you want to come to the 2 days, you can come test it out. And then the 2 days is 2 full days. You'll also get a manual that is filled with body processes. Not only are you going to learn how to do some body processes on animals, but you can use the exact same body processes on yourself or other people. And then you also get the audio program. Plus, you can come and ask any of your questions. If you don't have a horse, doesn't matter. You can come. We'll have horses. If you have a horse and you'd like to bring a horse, we can arrange that also.
Cool. Sounds amazing. I will be there.
Yay.
Yay. That's very cool. Yes, you've inspired me to actually seek somewhere out to ride. You know, it's something I haven't done a lot of, but when I have, I love it. I just love it. And so what would it take for me to get up on a horse and start riding?
Sounds that is cool. Fun. And if they want to know anything more about where to find information about that, you can go to our website, which is Access Ass Shift. So Access, Access Shift, SHIFT.com.
Is it also listed on the Access Consciousness website?
Under the Access Consciousness, you can go to search Conscious Horse, Conscious Rider, or you could go under Arlene Schmedick as a facilitator, or Kathy Duell, Kathy with the C, Duell, and both of those classes are under there too.
Cool.
Right.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. This was fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. And thank you to our listeners. And we'll see you next week on For the Love of Learning. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.